This old song is Keep on the Firing Line. I remember doing this with my folks when I was a kid. My brothers and sister and I backed our parents up on a lot of old songs. And some of you may know this. I asked the church a little while ago, how many know this song? And three people raised their hands, and two of them was my wife and father-in-law. So, and I have some lovely assistants here. Thank you, guys. You sounded great. And all these guys, isn't this a good man? I mean, even not all of them are up here, but. And I say that because I'm part of it, right? All right, let's get serious. Keep on the firing line. Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right,
keep on the firing line.
And if you win, my brother, surely you must fight.
Keep on the firing line.
There are many dangers that we all must face. It eyes to fight, and it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place. So keep on the firing line.
Must fight.
Be brave against all evil. Never run
or leave a lag behind.
If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fire. Get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad.
Keep on the firing line.
I will praise the Savior for the call we had.
Keep on the firing line.
May the day that I sold myself to win. Bring them to Jesus from the pass of sin. With a shout of welcome, we will all march in. Just
keep on the firing line.
Must fight,
be brave
against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Sing it with us. Oh, you
must fight,
be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, if you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
To accept it, hard-hearted, not interested. And they will die and go to a Christless eternity because Jesus Christ is the only way. Yes, so, John chapter 9, why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's Word. And the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning, for the joy that it is to be in this house, for these folks that have chosen to be here. God, I pray that you would bless them. Help us to know your word more clearly from the time that we spend in it. Thank you for the music and all that has taken place. And Lord, when this hour is done, I pray that you would be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is one of the most interesting stories in the Bible. I think it has so much meaning. 3 weeks ago, when we looked at this passage, we talked about the fact that there was a man here that was, we'll say that he was in pain. Obviously, he was blind. He had no ability to see. He'd been like that, the Bible records, for his entire life. Now he's an adult. The disciples walked by, and as they're looking at him, and they recognize that he's blind and that it's a painful situation, they saw that there was a problem, and they were looking for someone to blame. And isn't it normal? Let's not throw the disciples under the bus. Isn't it normal that when we see a situation, we're wondering who we can blame? There's a situation going on over in the Middle East right now, and there's some blame going on. Okay, that's nothing new. Those things, not the Middle East, but it's nothing new for us to assign blame. But the disciples put a spiritual element into it when they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Because obviously, we're going to look at it from a spiritual point of view. You understand, Jesus is right here. He would have the answer. So they had the pain and they had the problem, and they couldn't figure out what the purpose of this man's life would be as people walked by, and he's been like this all of this time, his entire life. And I'm sad to say there are folks that think that there are lives with no purpose. And we could enumerate that a little bit. The guy on Skid Row, the guy hooked on drugs, that person in a nursing home that no longer even recognizes their family. And we think, wow, what is God doing? Well, let me tell you something. If that person is alive and breathing, they have a purpose. God is always doing something. Don't you ever think, don't you ever go and say, doctors are encouraging folks to abort babies if it looks like they're going to come out and have issues. And I'll tell you what, every life, if it's breathing, has an issue. We all got our problems. We all got our issues. But every life has a purpose, and God is working. And Jesus looked at them and said, I've got a purpose. That man is sitting there right now all of this time, and he didn't say this, but we can say it with authority, that he was put there for this reason, so that on that day Jesus could walk by and show God's power in his life. And God was in no hurry. Let's give him 25 years. Let's say whatever it is. You ever concerned about the timetable that God is on? I am. So what in the world is God doing? Seems like, come on, step on it, Lord. Let's get this thing done. And for whatever it is, for whatever his reason is, God is working. He's on his timetable. And he is accomplishing his will all through COVID, all through the trials that are going on, all through the Middle East, all through the president and the White House. You fill in the blank. God is working his plan. Nothing has taken place without his okay on it. And when it's all said and done, you and I will be able to look back and see, wow, there it is. That's what happened. Now, that might not happen until we get to heaven. But every now and then, and you and I can recognize this, we do get an answer to some of life's issues. We don't get them all, but every now and then, some things make sense. And on this day, this blind man, it made sense because Jesus was going to walk by. And so, another thing I've always, if I can air my dirty laundry, it's always bugged me that God doesn't operate like I think he should either. So he goes along, and you know, he could have done, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Ernest Angley or not, but when Ernest Angley healed, he put hands on people and he go, hey. He had this reverie, hey. And no offense to Ernest Angley, but he had a special theatrical way of doing things, you know, and seemed to be more spiritual than other ways. And so old Ernest, he put his hands on him, and supposedly good things happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. He had a big TV ministry. And so you would want the Lord to come by and, my son, I am so sorry for thou findest thyself in this thy dreadful situation. And I want you to know that I am here and I will cure you. How's this sounding? Okay? Sound spiritual? And then he could have just waved his hand and whoa, and maybe even a lightning bolt from the sky. That would be effective. However you want to make it, Hollywood would have figured this out. But no, what's the Lord do? He goes and he takes some dirt and he spits in it and he makes some mud and he jams it in his eyes. And then he looks at him and says, your face is dirty. Go wash. Pretty much. And so he goes down and he washes in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible records he came back seeing. And all God's people said, how great would that have been to see that? There's shouting time in heaven. There's shouting time in earth. I'm telling you, you would be, oh my word, this is awesome. So let's take a look at what happened. The title of the message is When I Met the Master. There's a great song, like a blind man who walks in the darkness. I had longed, I had searched for the light. Then I met the master. Now I walk no more in the night. And the chorus says, for all things were changed when he found me. A new day broke through all around me. For then I met the master, and now I belong to him. And obviously that is a great, you would have to believe that this man could have written that song when he met the master. So the reaction from the miracle, we see it from the neighbors, is in John chapter 9. And look at verse number 8. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. So the neighbors are looking at him, said, well, let's just say, I was trying to think of a couple of names of neighbors that may have lived in the area. So I've chosen Herman and Juanita. So Herman and Juanita are talking. And so they see this guy going by, and Juanita says to Herman, isn't that the shirt you gave that blind guy? Isn't that what he's wearing? Because obviously he would have probably had hand-me-down clothes. And Herman, that's your shirt, isn't it? But that guy's not blind. And Herman goes, maybe that's him. And either that or he beat up the blind guy and stole his shirt. And Juanita says, I think that's the blind guy, but he can see, so it must not be the blind guy. And the blind guy's here, and you know, I'm right here. I can hear you. I didn't lose my hearing. I could always hear. I know what you guys sound like, Herman and Juanita. I'm right here, and I'm the blind guy. But they, well, I don't know. They recognized that a change had taken place, but they weren't sure just who to attribute that to. And I want you to know that when Jesus saves you, he's not looking to just give you eternal life, give you the stamp of approval, and you go on your merry way. He's looking to save your sins, but he wants to change your life. There will be a change. In a lot of cases, in most cases, it's a radical change, because when Christ comes in, he makes a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things become new. And if you say Christ is your Savior, and you can look back at that point when you prayed to receive Christ, and you do not see any change in your life, I have a major problem with your salvation experience, because Christ changes you and he makes you different than you are, and people should be able to recognize that. And they looked at the change that had taken place and they didn't quite know what to make of it. Jesus talked to the apostle Paul, named Saul, in Acts chapter 26. Now I'll read you that passage. In verse number 15, he said, Paul was struck down by a bright light on the Damascus Road. You're familiar with the case. He was on a mission to go and kill more Christians. He hated the things that the Christians were standing for because he felt sure, being taught in the way of Judaism, that this was a pagan religion, a false religion that needed to be stamped out. So he thought he was on God's business. But God met him on the Damascus Road. And in his own testimony, in his own words, he says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Jesus goes on and speaks in verse 16. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. Kind of like the blind man, correct? To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus enumerated the great change that would take place in his life, not only the change that he would experience, but the new job that he was going to be doing. He wasn't going to be killing Christians. He was going to be creating Christians by them accepting Christ by the message that he was going to preach. Blind eyes made to see. You and I have the privilege of sharing the gospel message and having blind eyes see. That's the key that you and I have been given. And we are ambassadors of Christ. We are doctors of the faith, if you will, to go out and heal people through the preaching of the gospel, not by any means that we have, but through the Holy Spirit and the work that he does. I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to turn something into something that it's not. So obviously the neighbors weren't quite sure, but the blind man was saying, hey, that's me and I've been changed. Let's see what, so we see the reaction of the neighbors. Let's take a look at the reaction of the Pharisees. Chapter 9 and verse number 13. And they brought to the Pharisees him that afore was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay in mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. You would think that the religious crowd would be thrilled that a miracle has happened on their watch. Not this crowd. If God is not working the way they tell him to, he is not God. That's pretty much what their rules were. They didn't care about people. They cared about their rules, their power, their position, their prestige, and their control of the situation. No good thing could come of anything they did not have control of. Kind of reminds me of a group running things in Washington. Are you like that? Seriously, you don't need to clap. Thank you. Now, it's just, you know what? Sometimes good things happen that we don't have any part of because God's working. Aren't you glad God doesn't require you and I to do everything? I don't think we could, do you? Matter of fact, what he's given us to do, we're not very good at. But the religious crowd of that day, they had said for years, we represent the good. We will fight for you. We will stand for you. We will declare what is right and what is wrong, and you can trust us. And then when the truth came onto the scene, that was the last thing they were interested in, because they looked around and said, oh my word, if this is the guy, then we're out of business. What are we supposed to do after this? Not realizing that their business could have been the greatest calling they've ever experienced, but Satan blinded them, empowered them to fight him. And actually, they ended up doing God's business because Jesus needed to die for you and I. And they were the ones that made it happen. But the Pharisees did not care to see God's power. Let me tell you something. God is working. And through pride, through arrogance, through hard-heartedness, Old Testament, through stiff-necked people, that Jesus Christ will show himself to every life in your lifetime. There is no one that will stand before God without excuse. I was at a funeral recently. Linda Stade's dad passed away. And her brother Steve preached the funeral of his dad. He did a wonderful job. And when it was all said and done, I talked to him after the service. And I looked at him and I said, you left him without excuse, because he covered the gospel so well. And he said, isn't that what Jesus does? And I'm telling you, this morning, you will leave this place. If you leave without Christ, you are without excuse. But with Christ, it is the greatest thing that can possibly happen to you. And the disaster is that folks will look at the answer and see what they need and refuse to accept it, hard-hearted, not interested. And they will die and go to a Christless eternity because Jesus Christ is the only way. We've been studying the book of John. My original purpose of that was to see how Jesus interacted with other people because it seems like our people skills are broken in America today. We are horrible at it. Everything, every interaction, the riots, the hate, the schisms, the fractionalization of society. We're no longer talking about being kind to one another or the golden rule. We are just spitting mad and hate in the venom that is being spread and fueled but from one side to the other. I'm telling you, we need to be showing the love of Jesus Christ. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That forgiveness is required from Christians. And sad to say, there are Christians that refuse to forgive. And that's a disaster as well. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I'm telling you, Christian, the only way we can stay on the firing line is to be show the love of Christ to an enemy that can't stand us. Because we're not called to kill. We're called to kill them with kindness, to love them, to show them a different life. And I don't know about you, I'm happy. I ain't just saying that. I'm enjoying this life. You can't beat the Christian life. Say that with me. You can't beat the Christian life. If you're here without Christ, you're missing the good time. Join the party. Meet the Lord. Let him change you. Because I'll tell you what, that crowd out there that's telling us how idiotic we are, how hateful we are, isn't it interesting they call us the haters? We don't know how to hate. That's the farthest thing from our mind. But the haters want to call us the haters because that's all they can do is just spread their venom. And if they got their way entirely, if they got everything they wanted, they'd still be miserable. They don't know a happy day. They don't know one. That's the problem with the Pharisees seeing Jesus. He's supposed to be what they wanted. But that can't be right. And they were miserable. I'm telling you, you accept Christ today, your misery is over. You've got the answer. It's in Jesus Christ. You can't study Christ without salvation. You can't see his interaction without seeing sins forgiven, a home in heaven, the love that he shows for people. It's absolutely incredible. The neighbors, the Pharisees, and lastly, the family. John chapter 9 and verse 19. Let's see what the family said. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You're going to lose your status. If you agree that Jesus is the Christ, then you're gone. You're out of here. Even his own family was unwilling to accept the great change that took place. Wouldn't you be glad if you had a son that was blind and he was healed? Wouldn't you be glad? They weren't, because it was going to affect their status. I'm telling you what, in the parenting realm, I give them a big fat F. That's pathetic. But I want to warn you, friend, that if you trust Christ as your Savior, your family may not be too excited about it. How many family members have family members that aren't saved? How many family members have talked to their family and says, you've got to understand, and they will not listen. Why? Because your family doesn't know anything. I mean, come on. But I'll tell you what, the greatest decision you can make is to choose Christ. The greatest decision you can make is, listen, I would rather live alone with Christ than be the most popular person in the world without him. So the blind man met Jesus, and when he met the master, his life was changed. You know, I got to thinking, there are times if you have a problem with your vehicle, you can go to a mechanic and they'll plug it in and they can tell you what the issue is. If you have, ladies, if you have problems with your hair, you can go to a beautician and they can do a makeover. Ooh, exciting is that? And they'll just, it's wonderful. So ladies here that had their hair done this week, it's beautiful. There are, I'm serious, this happens. There are times where I fed my family working on heating systems, and people would call and say it's doing this, and I would go and for money, not for free, but for money, I can tell you what's wrong with your system. I can be bought, okay? But you know, if you've got a problem of the heart, if you are a sin-sick soul, there is nowhere you can go but Jesus Christ. He is the only one with the answer. And then you can sing, when I met the Master, now I belong to him. And if you're willing to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you will experience over a period of time, maybe not as soon as you pray the prayer, but over a period of time, as he makes a new person, he takes that clay and he remolds it. As we are the clay and he is the potter, as he makes us what he wants us to be, I'm telling you, you will experience the greatest, most satisfying life that you ever could have dreamed of on this side of eternity. And then when you get to heaven and you see Gary Hansen and you see Lori Griffin and you see all of the loved ones that have gone on before us, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him, but he has started to reveal those things unto you and I. I'm telling you, don't leave this life without meeting the Master. Heavenly Father, oh, you are the answer. You are the great life changer. You are the one that makes the difference. We will go to a home this evening and try to minister to a family that man is sick and he doesn't seem to be getting better. And medically speaking, they get very little good news. But you are working. This did not happen in a vacuum. For whatever reason, you are using the life of Jeff McLeod for your honor and glory. And we will not tie your hands in telling you you are making a mistake. We will praise you. We will love you. We will believe you. Lord, there are folks here today, possibly just by the numbers, the percentage, that there will be folks that have never trusted you as their personal Savior. And they are not experiencing the light that you show. But the light could come on this morning if they would be willing to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. You are working in their life.